Lord, may these be your words for your people. Amen. So, as I told the kids, happy Super Bowl Sunday to all who celebrate. I had a seminary professor that said it should be in the church calendar because he was a big football fan and thought we should just mark it in there. So even if you aren't really rooting for either team or don't really care, like, it's still part of the air and the atmosphere, right? The news will talk about it. It's on the radio. There's something about the atmosphere of the day that marks it as something special. There are some very excited and passionate people in the country today, very, very few of them who are actually playing in the game. Most of the enthusiasm is from the fans. So I had the definition, a Merriam-Webster definition of fans, which should come up in a second. So these are our definitions. An enthusiastic devotee, as of a sport or a performing arts, usually as a spectator, or an ardent admirer or enthusiast, as a celebrity or a pursuant. Which, this made sense. This is kind of what we think of as a fan. So sports fans are for sure the easiest to pick out, right? Y'all know you're sports fans. They're the easiest. Most people are good with the idea of having their team that they represent with the flags and the t-shirt and the colors. But it's not the only type of fan. The first one I kind of came to mind was Comic-Con. This is a picture from a Comic-Con. And these are nerd-themed conventions for people who are... This is X-Men. These people are all dressed up as the X-Men characters. But Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, fantasy books, TV shows, movies, video games, all of this is represented at a Comic-Con. And people spend thousands of dollars to make their costumes to go to these events. It's a big deal if you are into the Comic-Con world. This is a huge moment for you. Another type of fan that you may have heard about recently is Taylor Swift fans, or Swifties. So some of you may be aware that she did a very large tour, the Eras Tour, like a year or two ago, and my goodness, were people excited. There were outfits and glitter. People spent literally thousands of dollars to fly to see her perform and wore different costumes, could get to the different eras. Like, it was a big deal. People are fans of these things. Now, not everyone is going to be a fan on this level of anything. Some people are like, yeah, I'm just not that passionate about stuff. But I think all of us are fans of something, right? A book series or a hobby like tennis or swimming or camping, a specific type of art, a movie or author you really like. If you've ever thought about getting like a keychain or a bumper sticker or a t-shirt that was connected to something you enjoyed, you're probably a fan of that thing. For me, one of the definitions of being like a fan versus like, I like that, is if you're willing to be in public with that thing on or talking about it. Do you proclaim boldly for all to hear that you dressed up at Comic-Con as an X-Men? Or you're like, yeah, I watch the movies, but I don't really care. Right? There's a difference in how passionate we are. Part of embracing the, quote, fandom is being willing to be in public and maybe embarrass yourself a little bit, because the joy of it is coming together with the other fans. That's what the Super Bowl's about. That's what Comic-Con's about. That's what the concerts were about. It was about coming together with each other, and the joy and enthusiasm of that moment is why everybody spent the money. It wasn't only to see Taylor Swift. It was to see Taylor Swift with everybody else and do it all together with that joy and that enthusiasm and that atmosphere. Now, I promise there's a connection between this and our theme of discipleship that we've been talking about. I promise it's there. So remember, we've been talking about the last few weeks about following Jesus, about modeling our lives off of Jesus as a student, and not just here, but in our hearts and our actions. We've talked about growing. We talked about needing mentors and spiritual guides and spiritual friends and companions on the journey. We talked about growing in our confidence to both speak up and to listen to unfamiliar voices. And today we're going to talk about acting out our faith in public, hopefully with some enthusiasm like some of these fans we saw today. Sometimes Christians may find themselves in the reality that we are so focused on growing and learning to be like Christ in our minds and strengthening our personal relationship with God and confessing our sins, that our faith becomes mostly sedentary, if not solitary. And it's easy to fall into the trap of praying and studying and meditating alone or in small groups or coming together in prayer and never doing anything in public with our faith. And none of the things I mentioned are bad. All of them are good and important and necessary. But if we never go into public, we've missed a part of discipleship because Jesus acts. And if we are modeling ourselves off of Jesus, we have to do a thing in public. Kind of like everyone about to express their enthusiasm today for the game. In Seattle, there will be a lot of fireworks if there's any touchdowns. We as Christians are called not to just root for the team at home and in the privacy of our own living rooms, but actually in public, that our enthusiasm and our love and our joy and our faith should be evident. I think this is a next step for some of us in our discipleship and modeling ourselves after Christ. Now, two notes as we begin. Being a fan of Christ in public is going to be easier for some people than others. Some of us are shy and don't actually want to speak in public, and some of us will talk to a fence post, right? Like, some people are going to be more enthusiastic, and some people are going to be more reserved in how they do all of life, and that is okay. We are not supposed to be like each other in public. You are still you with your own giftings and talents and strengths and weaknesses. It just doesn't give us an excuse to not act in public. Just to act like yourself. And second, and I'm sure some of you are immediately thinking about like street evangelism as I'm saying this, and that's not necessarily what I'm saying. Again, not everybody does their faith in public the same way. And I think in our current political and cultural situation where we are right now, we need to be thoughtful about what it looks like to be a fan of Christ in public. Not every expression has been or will continue to be helpful. Everything is shifting. And we're called to be thoughtful, but to still to express our faith in public. And I want to be honest here because sometimes I have struggled with this. That definitely was being known as a pastor definitely puts some of that labels on you. And you have to know that. I was not super pleased when God first called me into this. I have struggled with my acting in faith in public, with letting my allegiance to Christ be seen and known sometimes. And I want to talk specifically to the younger people in the room, because it was hard when I was growing up in post-Christian Seattle as a young person, and it's got to be even harder now. I remember when I was in high school and I had someone tell me, oh, but you're a Christian, so your opinion doesn't matter. And I was like, hey, I still have like a brain and thoughts here. And my guess is that you all have heard or sensed or felt something similar, if not explicitly spoken. And in college, when I was double majoring in Bible and Spanish, it was much easier just to tell people I was a Spanish major than a Bible major, because that cut conversation pretty much instantly, unless I knew who I was talking to. I've also seen how some of Christians' good intentions, sharing the gospel, track specific languages and goals that we have shared broadly with the public, have been harmful to some people that I care about deeply. I have friends who've struggled with how Christians and evangelicals have expressed their public faith and discipleship, and how that hasn't always matched with their understanding of Christian discipleship. And so it's a real temptation for me and probably for others in this room to just not be fans in public. Because you're like, well, I don't want to be considered with those guys. I don't want to be a fan like that. So what if I just don't say anything? I don't want to be misinterpreted. So if I just don't do it, maybe that's easier. And I do think it's easier. But I don't think that's what we're called to do. Jesus followed God publicly and it was hard. The disciples followed Jesus publicly and it was hard. And we are called to follow Jesus publicly too, which probably means it will be hard. I think, though, that being a public fan and faithful follower of Christ doesn't have to look like it has always looked. It doesn't have to look like each other, necessarily. There's a lot of ways to do this. There's a nuance to public discipleship, to be a fandom of Jesus like that. Hopefully, we're going to look at three different scriptures of people acting their faith in public, hopefully as some ideas and examples of what it may look like for us. Because I think we can get stuck into must be like this. And God, our God is a God of abundance and creativity, so it must exist. But there's a wide variety in what it can look like. So our first story today is from Jesus' baptism. So we're going to set the stage a little bit. John the Baptist is out in the Jordan River. He is baptizing people, calling them to repentance, informing them that the Lord is coming soon. Matthew tells us that Jerusalem and Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So this is a public thing. There is a lot of people here. I pulled up a picture. Like, it's hard to see. I should have picked something different. But this is a crowd of people. We tend to think of the baptism as a very private moment with Jesus and John and the dove coming down. But, like, all of Jerusalem is showing up. Like, there's a lot of people here. This is a public participation in an event, not at a private removing of sins. Everybody who was coming down to be baptized was publicly committing themselves to Christ, to God, asking for God's forgiveness, asking for the community to hold them accountable to what they were saying, claiming to the promise that they were God's people and that he was their God. This is the baptism that John was acting out faithfully. It was a community involvement. Together, we are doing this together. One as in front of many, many doing it together. Enter Jesus. He comes and stands amongst the throng of people. He comes and joins this public act of worship. He doesn't need to be baptized. He is sinless. He doesn't need other people to hold him accountable. John knows this. That is why he tries to stop Jesus. But Jesus knows that there is something important about a public stake of worship, a stake in the ground, so to speak. Jesus tells John, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." So Jesus is baptized publicly, claiming that he is God's and God is his, and Jesus is part of this wider community and joining their corporate worship together. And God's Spirit comes down, a voice from heaven, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, an easy tie-in for us this morning is that every disciple of Christ should, those trying to model themselves after Jesus and be a good disciple, should be baptized, like Jesus was. And if you haven't been baptized, I would encourage you to think about it, to do it, to ask questions for me if you aren't sure. Baptism is a powerful way to connect yourself with Christ and with the wider community. The symbolism is beautiful and deep. But if you're already baptized, does that mean you don't have to pay attention to the story and it has nothing to teach you? Which is never the case. There is always more. So another possible takeaway is that we should do our sacraments in public. Baptism is now a sacrament. Being part of these holy moments like communion, like baptism, is a way of outsiders being like, "What are you doing?" And you're like, "Oh, well, let me explain it to you." But I think there's an even more basic thing that we can do. I think one of the most powerful parts of the baptism wasn't that Jesus was baptized or that Jesus was part of what is now a sacrament, but that Jesus was in public and baptized with everybody else. He was not a solo moment. He's publicly saying, "I belong here with you, with all of these people. Everyone here is part of God's chosen people, and so am I." This is not a one-and-done baptism moment. With Jesus' baptism, he's taking his love of God and sharing it as part of this community. "I am one of you. I am part of this. We are doing life together." Notice here, Jesus doesn't actually talk to the crowd at all. There's no preaching. There is no comments. He just comes in and goes with everybody else receiving the baptism. One of the first ways we'd be encouraged to shape our discipleship model ourselves after Jesus is to act out our faith in public without really talking about it. Like that famous phrase attributed to St. Francis, right? "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." What does acting our faith in community in public look like without talking about it? Maybe it's as simple as wearing a bracelet or a t-shirt with a Bible verse on it so people can point you out. Maybe it's something like serving in the community with the McCormick Support Group or with Egan or with St. Vinny's or with Lane Food for Lane County or for whoever. There are so many. Maybe it's participating in a march or a community meeting in your town or in your subdivision. Maybe it's weeding a neighbor's garden or offering to walk the dogs or take over a meal when someone's having surgery. These are all, I am with you. We are part of this, worshiping in community together. Jesus lives out his faith and devotion with actions, publicly connecting himself to God and to his neighbors. And I think this is an important part of what it means to be a disciple of Christ and to live out our faith. Our second text is from the book of Acts. Another account of the followers of God, in this case, Peter and John, the disciples, acting out their faith in public. Now, our reading this morning is actually from the middle of a story about Peter and John. In chapter 3, we read from chapter 4. So in chapter 3, we find Peter and John are going to the temple for prayer. So like Jesus, they are going out in public, not intending to speak about Jesus, not intending to share anything. They are going to worship communally with other people. And then a moment arrives for them to step up, to step out, to share their faith and expand their discipleship. Not just by being present with the people and acting among them, but by speaking. So there's a crippled man outside the temple and he asks for alms. And instead of silver or gold, Peter responds like this. I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And now, because of being in public and of following Jesus, Peter and John are given the opportunity to speak about Jesus, about their faith, to express their devotion, to speak about Jesus. And they do. With the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because if you read through the Gospels, Peter is tripping over himself at like every single moment, and then you get to Acts and he's super eloquent. We assume this is the help of the Holy Spirit. Peter and John are able to speak in public, to the general public. And they do. It says the people and the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees, all of these social groups, all these people are mentioned. And Peter and John are so adamant, passionate, and persistent that they are put in prison for the night. But their healing followed with their public words and enthusiasm spread, and Acts tells us that many of those who heard the words believed, and they numbered about 5,000. Now the next day, Peter and John are asked to speak, invited to speak even, to all the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And once again, Peter speaks clearly and boldly. Following after Jesus, learning to shape their lives after Jesus, leads Peter and John to standing in public, proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is to everyone around them. Now, this is probably the most classic understanding of what it means to share our faith in public. And I'm sure that many of you are familiar with this kind of evangelism, and some of you are even gifted in it, in sharing the gospel with our neighbors, sometimes of serving the community in order to be asked. And there is nothing wrong with speaking out like this. It is necessary at times. But I do have a confession that this is something I struggle with. Even though I am a pastor and I am a professional speaker of God's word, apparently, I can still struggle with speaking in public to strangers about it, especially if they're not like wanting to hear from me. Like, I'm a really bad street corner preacher. And part of that is because I really hate being told what to do, like a lot. And so if someone's on the street corner telling me what to do, I will like do the opposite out of spite. Like, I'm one of those people. So if I really wanted someone to come to Christ, I'm not going to go tell them from the street corner, because that would be the quickest way to push me away. So I obviously don't want to do it to you, so I'm going to try something else. But I can't use this personal hang up to never share. So I need to look at my context, where I am, where I'm invited to be, and to be ready to speak about Jesus. Even if it makes me uncomfortable, I am called to speak this out to strangers sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. I think the same is true for us. So for some of us, I think we need to be willing to wait for the invitation. Why are you here? What do you have to say? Why did this person get healed? Please tell me about this. Some of us need to wait for that permission. So many people have felt walked over by Christians, that patience and silence may work better. but not always. For others of us, we need to be willing to speak up and actually express our faith and discipleship in public with our words. This can be simple. It can be something as Jesus is important to me and I hope he can be important to you. It can be very simple. But part of our discipleship of following Jesus is speaking about Jesus, about our passion and our love for him in public, even when we're not sure how it will be taken or what people will say about us. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit is there to help us, like Peter. So where may you be called to speak or invited to speak? Or maybe more invited to be present and not speak? Is it with words or presence or both that you are being invited somewhere to share God with people around you? Our third story about faithful public discipleship is a story of King David in the Old Testament. This is again a snapshot story in the midst of a larger, drawn out one. The Ark of the Covenant, which is where God's presence has been residing, is like out in this town in a house of a man named Obed. He's been there for years. David is finally established as king. Saul and his dynasty are no longer there. They have recently conquered the city of Jerusalem. That is the new capital city. Things are finally like coming up, David. And he's like, all right, we're going to bring the God's presence. We're going to bring the ark to Jerusalem. We're going to establish it in this. He wants to build a house for it. He's super excited. He's super ready to finally do this. There's a big parade for the ark, procession of priests and others, and King David is part of it. And there's the sacrificing and all these things, but he's not dressed up in his kingly garb. So the honor of being the king and the leader, the ruler, he's not doing that. He's dressed in just like whatever a normal priest would wear. The linen ephod's just like a robe that priests wear. Not like even the important ones, but just like the random ones. Like he's just like, what would a servant of God wear? That is what I'm wearing. And King David was not dressed in the high honor that he could have been said. He was publicly expressing his devotion to God by setting aside the honor of his status. And then famously, he danced before the Lord with all his might. He is so passionate, in fact, that his wife looks out the window and sees David leaping and dancing and despises him in her heart. You're very embarrassing. You are not living up to the honor that you were, dignity of the position that you were supposed to have. David set aside his dignity and his position and his honor and all the highly valued and highly fought for and simply expressed his joy and delight to be in God's presence. So I think of all the people who cover themselves in face paint to root for their team. And I was in Chicago for a bit, so the people that climb light posts when the Cubs win things and are just like up there screaming. Or the people that spend hours and hours crafting their outfit for Comic-Con to be exactly like their favorite character. This kind of exuberance cannot be hidden, cannot be faked. What David was doing is that similar kind. Some people may look at them oddly for showing this extreme passion, but fans don't care. People may be there. Some people may be embarrassed by their passion, but the fans are just thrilled to be there. David is thrilled to worship God in public with joy and exuberance. This too is a way for us to be disciples in public, to act our faith, not with intentional service and solidarity with those around us, which is important and what Jesus was doing. Not with words, that's what Peter and John were doing, that's another way. But this way is with our joyful and passionate delight for being one of God's children, for being redeemed, for being loved of God. Even people that don't understand what is happening will see that kind of joy and wonder, how do I get that? You know the people that you're sitting at a restaurant and the table next to you just starts laughing so hard that they're crying and then the whole group around you has no idea why, but you're kind of laughing too because that joy is contagious. I cannot tell you how to spread joy, to express that hope that we have in Jesus in your public life. I think everyone does it differently. But the biggest takeaway is to not be embarrassed, to not be afraid, to not hide it away, to try not to present the gospel to present Jesus as something that's so dignified and rational that you miss the joyful expression of life and hope and love that we have found. I can't help but wonder that if we were able to share this joy, this hope publicly with our neighbors, if that would give us more opportunities to share than anything. Our world desperately needs joy. Desperately needs joy and hope. How do we share that with our neighbors? Being a disciple, a follower, a learner of Christ is something that starts as a personal choice and an intimate moment. But it doesn't stay there. Discipleship becomes something that is acted out in public. In presence and in service, in words and in actions, in deep joy and exuberance. All of us are called to this public announcement of the importance of Jesus in our lives. Now, not all of us may be called to all three of these expressions. Some people you're like, I can't imagine them ever smiling in public. They may not be the joy one. Some people that are like, I can barely string a sentence in front of a stranger. Maybe you're not words. But all of us are called to live our life in public as fans of Christ. I encourage you to not be embarrassed or afraid if you can help it. Practice, because we might be. There's a lot of reasons it's hard to speak out and to live this way sometimes. But the Holy Spirit goes with us to love and support and encourage and give us the kick in the butt sometimes that we need. To love and to serve and to act and to maybe even dance. Discipleship begins with me and God, but it does not end there. I hope if you watch the game today and you see the fans, it reminds you to think about how can you share that exuberance and joy and excitement and hope and fervor that you have for Jesus with those around us. I hope you find a place to share this, your love for Christ, with those around you. Let me pray for us as Mary comes up. God, our joy and our hope and our life, light of the world, you have asked us to share you with everyone around us. We don't always know how. That's okay. Give us some insight and some encouragement, the words to say or the moments to be silent, the times to laugh and to dance and the time to sit in solidarity. Help us to be your servants, to grow as your disciples by sharing our faith in you in public. Thank you that you will help us with this and that we get to try over and over again. In your name we pray. Amen.